This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Welcome back to Post Show Recaps Movie Club. My name is Grace. We are here to rank the best space slash sci-fi movie of the 90s. I'm joined by delightful guest, co-host of the Only Murders in the Building podcast, a person who I frequently venture into space with on twitch.tv/bmphilly, playing Dragonfly. It's the wonderful DJ LeBeau Klein, a.k.a. Troy. How you doing?
Hello.
Space sound effects.
Exactly. I got to get my laser cannons going. I'm great. I'm delighted to be here. We're going to talk about movies, a real sweet spot for me, in particular 90s movies, and also 90 movies in space.
Troy, I love this theme because we went back and forth a lot. And like, I was like, what do you want to do? What list do you want to do? And you're like, I think like space or sci-fi. I can't remember which one came first. And then we were like, okay, like maybe 90s. And then it was like, oh, but like then like Space Jam will just win, which I don't think Space Jam would have won if we did 90s space movies. We're like, let's add sci-fi in there just because.
Just in case.
And then we released the list, and we released it both like in the Discord. Like, you have patron voting rights up here. So we released it in Discord, and we also let people know through their Patreon that they can vote. And immediately people in the Discord, immediate like response is like, what does this mean? It's like, I don't know. up to your own interpretation, because we had already sent it out to the patrons like through your Patreon. And so I couldn't really clarify to them. I want to send a whole nother email. So I was like, I don't know, just like interpret it however you want, because.
So what you're telling me is I gave a bad prompt as a teacher.
No. We came up with this prompt together, Troy. I'm not casting blame on you. But I think the list is very interesting as a result.
Can I say before we like get into the list of it all, and I'm sure we'll banter back and forth just fine. Yeah. Maybe just briefly, like why did we land here and defending, not defending, but I think explaining our pick, which is there's a couple of movies who right around the time that you invited me to be on the pod.
Yes.
I was like jonesing to see, and I was really excited about it. And I was like, oh, maybe I could just stack the deck and make it like 90s space films that star blank.
But we
got to make it a little bit fun, and so I originally opened it up to like 90s space films, and then I was like, man, that could be in, like, I don't know if that there's enough, I don't know, whatever. And then when we added on sci-fi, I just googled really quickly like 90s space and sci-fi movies, and the list was so robust And I was like, I'd be down to talk about any single one of these movies.
It's pretty, yeah, it's pretty, it gets pretty big. I think that
we went off the rails.
No, we didn't go off the rails. I mean, I'm going to blame the patrons for voting. Is that I think so somebody asked me, like, well, does it actually have to be a space movie? And I was like, it's up to your own interpretation. Mm. I mean, we did put space in there because
we could have put space or sci-fi. The intent, I believe, was space or sci-fi, but you know.
Well, I mean, maybe that's different. Maybe my interpretation kind of was like, I don't know, kind of space sci-fi. You know, there should be some space element, probably. I will say, I'll spoil this right now. There's definitely a movie that has no space element.
That's great.
Which I think is hilarious that enough people are like, yeah, I'm going to interpret this however I want. So I think that it's fun. I definitely like could have seen like a past version of me who was like only had patron voting rights being very annoyed. At least one of the
was
things
that past that version of you 2 days ago.
Yeah, maybe. Where I'm like, that's not a space sci-fi movie. But technically, we said up to your own interpretation. If you took it to be space or sci-fi, then you're perfectly within your rights to have voted.
I mean, at this point, the goose is cooked, Grace. So
that's true.
I think we're just going to roll with, you know, this is going to become a Rorschach test for the patrons. And we're going to see what do people really just like want to write in a Google form and hear us talk about.
I totally agree. I mean, that is the essence of the
thing. When you really put it simply.
I mean, we started this list by doing top 10 Nicolas Cage films. That's how this like the show started with The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent coming out. So I don't think we can get like weirder, you know, we can get weirder. But like I'm excited to see how we like continue to explore what top 10 movies we're going to count down. But this month we're doing best space / sci-fi movies of the 1990s, the decade I was born in, Troy. So I feel like there are a few blind spots for me on this list. That's because, you know, by the time this decade is over, I'm nine. So, you know,
wow.
Yeah, right.
Way to rub it in, Grace. Make me feel old. We got old man Troy here, born in 1985. So I was at least able to watch movies, understand them. Maybe not all of them. You get an R-rated film in like 1990, 1991. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to reach back in order to watch that one. But boy, if we run into too many movies on this list I haven't seen, I'm going to be really disappointed.
I don't think so. This is my favorite game, which is, we were talking about this on the podcast before, of like, you are not spoiled on the list. You don't know.
No.
But I know the full list. And I do the game of looking at it, like, what if we get to something and nobody on the podcast has watched it? And so sometimes I will try to like fill in my gaps before the, like, okay, I'll watch this movie before the, I did not have time to do this. So there definitely is a chance that I could see one, maybe two of these movies neither of us have seen, but I'm going to put some faith in us together collectively. Hopefully we've seen all 10 of these films.
Look, we improvise a D&D game on the internet pretty much every week.
In space,
no less.
Yeah.
I think we can handle not knowing what we're talking about for a brief period of the pod, or maybe the majority of the podcast.
It's true. All right, should we start counting down? I will let folks know we've reverted to pretty classic voting rules here. You put something as your number one movie, that thing's getting 10 points. You put it at second, it's getting 9 points, etc. down the line. I've had some emails about your scoring system needs some weighting. I tried, it didn't change the results that much, and this is just easier for me. So this is what I have done. I appreciate the feedback.
Well, are you considering like a ranked choice vote or a single transferable vote option here?
Well, the feedback that was given to me at one point, I don't have the name off the top of my head. I do appreciate your amount. I did do the math one time. Was that like fewer last place votes shouldn't take 10 last place votes to be worth more than one first place votes was essentially the critique. Like some people have so many, like your 10th place movie, somebody might consider it better than somebody else's first place movie. And so the system should be weighted slightly differently. But I think this gets us pretty close to what we're trying to do. I mean, I think you could, like, you know, you could rearrange these in some similar fashion and you're probably going to get pretty close. I found the last time I did it both ways, it didn't change like the top three movie.
Okay, so, fair enough. I mean, look, this is not going to be an exhaustive list. There are going to be movies that.
But this is science, and it's on the record, and these are the best sci-fi movie of all time of the 90s. These results are like firm. And in place.
They're publishable, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I will say this, as true as that may or may not be, mm-hmm. my disappointment going into number 10 here, and again, I do not know any of these mm-hmm. 10, is that we can't preface it with like an honorable mention. Maybe you could based on voting, but maybe once we get a little bit later, closer to number one, or once number one is revealed, we can like dig back into what didn't make the list.
I do, yes. From the very first pod, Josh said, don't tell me what's like, don't tell me number 11, because what if 11 might be the movie I think is number one? So I do give you the list, and then afterwards we'll do the what didn't make the cut.
Yeah, perfect. Today. Perfect.
All right, number 10. This is a fun game, I think. I'm going to name some people in the cast. I'm going to start naming, and we'll see when you get the movie.
Oh, this is a test.
A little bit.
Oh, fun.
That's fun.
Or a game.
All right, number 10 from 1998. We have Steve Buscemi, Owen Wilson.
Buzz.
Yes.
Is this Mystery Men?
It's not Mystery Men.
Oh, is he Steve Buscemi in Mystery Men? Oh, am I going to show myself here?
That's okay.
Keep going. Owen Wilson.
Steve Buscemi. Bruce Willis. Billy Bob Thornton. Liv Tyler.
Oh, Buzz. Yeah, this is Armageddon.
Armageddon comes in at number 10. It scored a whopping 77 votes. No first place votes, which I think is interesting. I kind of thought this movie might be higher. But it is not a classic movie. Going to send a group of blue collar drillers into space to drill into an asteroid so it doesn't collide with Earth. Troy,
we love this. This is a good inclusion. I mm-hmm. think that well, you said 77 people voted on it. How
no,
many?
So 77 points. 0 first place. Votes.
Zero. Okay, 77 points. 0 first place.
I lied. It did get 1 first place vote. I'm so sorry.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Wow. We had one caller or listener who was really already about to send a mean DM.
Yeah, sorry. Like I vote. Yeah. They're like, your math must be wrong.
The ballot box is wrong.
That's right.
What can you say? I'm sorry. I'm like still in math brain here.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
How many, do you know how many submissions we had overall? How many responses?
42, I think.
Yeah, okay. 42. Our N is 42, yeah. Something like that. That's scientifically acceptable. We're going to publish it. So Armageddon, love it for what it is. Is it the best movie ever made? No,
no,
no.
It's the highest grossing movie of that year. Often the best movie of the year, the movie that makes the most money is not the best movie.
No, it's rarely the best movie. I think if I remember correctly, Armageddon came out just around the same time as Deep Impact. And those two shall forever be intertwined in our minds. Grace, I know you're spoiled, so you can't say, but I have to imagine Deep Impact did not make it higher on the list than Armageddon.
Who knows? Mystery,
we don't know.
Mysteries, abound.
I will tell you, I'm glad to see Armageddon here. I think there's a lot to chew on there. There is another associated old people, blue collar people going to space movie mm-hmm. that I do love even more.
Mm-hmm. This is Michael Bay here directing this movie. I think this is after Bad Boys and the Rock. Yeah, his like third feature a film just before probably really getting the blockbuster a showcase here. This movie is like a super popcorny flick, you know. I feel like what's this? Isn't there a song? There's a really
song. It's a song. I don't want to miss a thing by Aerosmith.
Yeah. So like it can get you, you know, emotionally, but you know, but the cast here, Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck, Steve Buscemi just hanging out as well.
Yeah, I think we have to put like, if we go like the pros and cons list for this movie, I definitely think the song and it being a top hit on TRL, that'll date us here, that is definitely a pro of the movie. I think the fact that it's a popcorn flick and the Michael Bay of it all is definitely a pro of the movie.
I agree.
I think the writing and the, it just might be a little smarmy. So,
well, the best critique of this film is, why didn't you teach NASA astronauts how to drill? Like, right? And like, and if like your tagline, you're like your one line description of the film, your elevator pitch, if you will, can completely be undermined immediately, that might be a problem with your writing, maybe.
Which is why I vastly prefer the movie Space Cowboys, starring starring Clint Eastwood and Tommy Lee Jones.
So much so it inspired
Cowboys. A D&D character of mine.
I think I saw Space Cowboys in the theaters. Space Cowboys, unfortunately, a 2000 film, so cannot make it.
Does not qualify. Just missed the cut. But Hawk from Space Cowboys has inspired Hawk Galdera in Glarendar in D&D. And then that one, they went back and they just taught the astronauts how to do a thing. So that's just a much smarter approach.
But sometimes, again, the popcornness of it is like, sometimes just like, I don't need, don't explain it to me. Just like, let's just go do it. Yeah, this is what's happening now. This is the ride I'm on. I think there's many movies that have come out this summer as like been on Poster Caps Theater with Era, where when I sit down to talk about a movie for like an hour and a half, I'm like, boy, it sounds like I hate the movie. I don't hate the movie. It was very fun. I like enjoyed eating my popcorn while I watched like a 90-minute flick. This is 151 minutes, but I think just still very enjoyable. I think 10 is almost like the perfect spot for this movie, maybe.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great movie, not a great film.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, let's jump to number 9. This is where I got a little bit confused. I was misreading my lines on my spreadsheet because this movie gets 0 first place votes, and it beats Armageddon by 1 point. It comes in with 78.
If it's Deep Impact, I'm telling you, I'm losing it. I'm losing it, Grace.
All right, it's from 1997. Uh-huh. Let's look at the cast. We have this one is Jake Busey is in this movie. Neil Patrick Harris is in this movie. Dina Meyer, Casper Van Dien, Denise Richards, Clancy Brown.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Denise Richards in this movie. This is Starship Troopers.
This is Starship Troopers. Yeah.
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 Talk about a movie that holds up in a very particular way. Oh, yeah. I've recently rewatched this movie and
they're still making them. Did you know that? 2017. I guess they're not still making them, but.
I mean, there's some issues with the movie. There's some, you know, I won't go into all of that, but like as a critique of the like space industrial and military industrial complex, it's really ahead of its time in a way.
My biggest issue with this movie is this one I haven't seen it, and I was worried this might be the one that we both haven't seen, but very, very good to know you.
I've not only seen it, I've seen it recently.
Oh, amazing.
I'm doing my part.
I will say I've been teasing that Poster Recap Theater, we're going to do, an Oscar show, but for Oscars that aren't real Oscars. So including, I think, best named character. And boy, if we did one in 1997, I think, Starship Troopers, Johnny Rico, Dizzy Flores, Ace Levi, Xander Barkalow. These are great names. These are
Names. And that's the whole point. Like, it's a whole spin-off on these like movies of you know, these like adventure and like kind of Rambo style movies. And then they fight like giant alien invading bugs. There's an entire episode that we did of Dragonfly that you'll remember, not to keep promoing our D&D show, but
this is the whole,
we landed on a rocky planet and got attacked by Karthix or whatever those things are called. That is literally a scene like out of Starship Troopers.
Amazing. That makes sense. Yeah,
that's a battle scene out of Starship Troopers.
Yeah. So yeah, he's Johnny Rico. He's in the mobile infantry, futuristic military unit. And he gets promoted. This interstellar war between mankind and insectoid species.
It is a movie where the pitch to get someone to watch the movie is much harder. But if you find find the right person, like it's a good one to watch. I can see why it made the top 10. I would definitely watch. I would watch this movie again well before I'd watch Armageddon again.
Interesting. I mean, I do think. In the future, we might need to look at, like, you know, the point of this movie is that we are going to watch number 1. I guess I should have said that up top rather than like number 9 on the list, is that we're going to watch whatever's number 1 in the Discord. I think we'll be watching that on probably Tuesday, September 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern. The thing I think that there's a big difference between a very good movie and a very good movie that's fun to watch in the Discord along with people. And it sounds like Starship Troopers might actually be like, you know, if it was like, what would be fun to watch as a group? Sounds like this one could have won.
Yeah, there should be a content warning there. There could be like a little, you know, there's some adult things and some gore and viscera. So, you know, noted there. But again, with the right crew, very fun movie to watch.
Yes. All right. So that's ninth place, Starship Troopers 78. I apologize. I haven't seen it. I'll try to make up for that at some point.
You're fine. Hey, just know the only good bug is a dead bug.
Oh, no. The ecosystem will collapse. All right.
Funny how they always want to be friends after they rip your guts out.
That's right. All right. Big jump between ninth place and eighth place. This movie gets...
Well, some could say a leap.
A leap. Starship Troopers at 78 points. This movie coming in at number eight has 96 points. Gets two first place votes. Guess what? Bruce Willis back at it again. 1997, the year before Armageddon. We also have Gary Oldman and Chris Tucker and Luke Perry.
Did it make it? It made the list? Lilo Dallas Multipass? Did the Fifth Element make the list?
It sure did. The Fifth Element. Yeah. Survival of Planet Earth, which... Corbin Dallas, another great name, former taxi cab driver and former special forces major. Yeah. After a young woman falls into his cab. Yeah. He's got to save Earth. Or he's responsible.
Is this movie that you've seen, Grace?
No, it's not a movie I've seen. Okay, can you tell from me describing the plot?
Yeah, you're doing okay. I think the most important thing to know about this movie is there's a lot of plot. Yes, but the enjoyment of this movie is all vibes. It is such a style joyride. The design, I mean, even down to the outfit that Mila Jovovich wears through a significant portion of the film was designed by Jean-Paul Gaultier. It is amazing. Like, there are memorable scenes that will stick in your mind for the rest of your life. And I think maybe part of the reason that this is the case is that it replayed a bunch on channels like TBS in the States.
Right.
So yeah. I think a lot of Americans have seen this movie a lot, and yes, it just gets incepted into your brain.
I have so many movies that are like that, but Fifth Element is not one of them. Although I do recognize the Gary Oldman attire. I feel like there was a few years ago where it was like all of Gary Oldman's attires were like going around, and this was like is clearly one of the most like prominent one. The like very like black hair, the little soul patch that he has. This is a very famous look, I think, for Gary Oldman.
Yeah, I mean, the Fifth Element is another one that I'd love to watch with the Discord and with everyone here. It's a script I'm sure that would have not been made in a lot of different times, but
yeah, it's a English language French film, right?
Like, yeah, it's directed by Luc Besson, so yeah. And he was not known for anything like that up to this point. And it is cheesy in a way, right? The production, sure. it just, there's nothing really
look
gritty
at the poster
about it.
Yeah.
But it's still very fun. It's very quotable. I think one of the pieces of trivia about this is that Mila Jovovich got the part because she made up her own language in order to play the part.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you know, I was just thinking, like, we've had two Bruce Willis films on here, mm-hmm. and Bruce Willis, like, I believe still to this day is, like, in the top 10 of, like, highest grossing lead actors of all time. But I believe currently he has health problems. I think he just yes. announced that he was retiring. Yes. But I feel like they're, even before, like, he sort of segued into this, like, sort of, like, the films he were doing were so, like, not big films. Has there ever been like what a massive like drop, I think, in terms of like being literally the biggest movie star in the world to then just like not, you know?
Yeah, and you know, that could be due to a health decline. Sure. You know, based on his health challenges, my understanding is he was experiencing a fair amount of dementia, and it's something that could have progressed over time. Yeah. But I think for someone, you know, if you get a Gen Z on the show and you try and explain to them how massively huge Bruce Willis was as a movie star, he pretty much owned the 90s and the late 90s across a lot of a different across a lot of different genres, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you obviously The Sixth Sense is a big breakthrough. He's in Pulp Fiction. He's in Unbreakable, which is a personal favorite of mine. Like, there's just a lot of really great Bruce Willis films.
Yes. Yeah, it's like he's undoubtedly just like a gigantic movie star. I'm looking forward to watching it one day. It sounds entirely silly and up my alley. Yeah,
it's definitely a movie you can't take too seriously, but I think you can enjoy. And Chris Tucker absolutely steals the movie when he enters it.
Amazing. I'm a big Chris Tucker fan. I feel like Chris Tucker is good.
I mean, he's like Chris Tuckering to the max, and I have no problems.
I mean, you're talking about Mystery Men. He's in Mystery Men as well. And then Rush Hour. Yeah, the guy's great. Also somebody who was a megastar at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Fifth Element. That's exciting. Number seven. Four first place votes. Going to get 104 points here. So it's 8 points higher than its previous film. This is a 1993 a film. And Troy, this is going to be probably my, somewhat bone of contention, but it's fine.
It's not a space film.
Let me read you off the cast list. We have Mr. Richard Attenborough.
Yeah, Goldberg, I know. Lord I knew Dern, what this film Samuel, was going to be.
Samuel Jackson.
Wayne Knight.
Wayne Knight. Yes.
A couple Wong. Of dinosaurs.
And a bunch of dinosaurs. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the science fiction film.
I was trying to give background music. I wasn't trying to interrupt.
No, I loved it. I loved it. I was Spielberg's Jurassic Park. Definitely a science fiction film. I think there was some contention. Is it even a science fiction film? It absolutely is. They're bringing back dinosaurs. They're playing with science. It's definitely a science fiction film. It has no qualifications for being a space movie, but that's fine. We did not tell you you had to vote for any. You could have voted for. You could have just been like. You could have voted for an 80s movie. technically. Well,
Yeah. I mean, no one's validating requirements for this.
No.
And I'll say this much. If the prompt had just been 90s movies, top five, baby.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Like, I think this one is clearly coasts into the top five.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. I do have this like sort of rule that like if a movie wins that has already been part of a movie club watch along, unless it's been a long, like obviously if Next wins a countdown, we're going to watch Next, famous PSR Discord movie watch along. Nick Cage is Next, which is an incredible piece of film cinema. The first ever watch along, I believe, was Jess Sterling's Jurassic Park. So we've watched it together as a group and too soon. So we wouldn't have watched it anyway. But here it is on the list at number seven.
Can we take a moment, though, and just imagine what Jess Sterling's Jurassic Park would be as opposed to Steven Spielberg or Michael Crichton's Jurassic Park?
I mean, none of those children are in that movie.
No, but a lot of really cute dinosaurs are.
It's true. And probably a pony as well.
Oh, I don't have a lot of hope for the pony. You saw what happened to the goat.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is a classic. I mean, you watch this movie again and you're like, boy, it's like somehow it's like better every time you watch it. It's like pretty perfect. It's like it's great for exactly what it's trying to do. It's amazing, and the technology of the time is it's really incredible.
It is somehow one of those movies that was incredible at the time, and I specifically remember going to see it in the theaters when I was 8 years old because my brother wanted to see it for his birthday, and so we got to see Jurassic Park. And it was amazing and terrifying as a kid to watch it in the theater. And now to watch it as an adult, it's so impressive to know how that movie was made without all the CGI that we have today.
I know. And it's like, I feel like part of, it's not the entire reason. There's a lot of reasons why these like sequels that have come out, this like new trilogy that they're doing, Jurassic World, has not worked. But I do kind of think part of it is like, I don't know. The magic of like that technology is so good. It's so fun. Somehow, like, I don't know. I don't think it like looks 100% real. Like the movement's a little sick, but it's also kind of like the fun of it. I don't know. Maybe if I showed a young kid like Jurassic Park, they'd be like, that CGI sucks. I don't know.
They might. They might. Yeah. And then I would smack him in the face. cut this part. Cut this part out about me smacking a small child. No, I wouldn't. But I will say this. I think it's a movie that, you know, you can curl up on the couch with a bowl of popcorn, turn off the lights, watch it, fine. But like seeing it in the theaters is a totally different experience. And I can't believe that that was 30 years ago. I also cannot let this moment pass without observing.
Yes.
This movie has Laura Dern, and it's any movie that has Laura Dern is like 50% better.
That is so true. Yeah.
I'm a big Laura Dern
fan. I'm glad Laura Dern has got like the return, sort of the reinvigorating of her career. It's just a tough break in the night after just being on Ellen, you know? It's like, come on. Yeah,
no, for sure. Like, we love Laura for what she did. We love Laura for who she is and for how she acts.
Yeah.
She seems to be like the most lovely person to have on set. Like, I just want to be friends with Laura Dern.
Yeah. Have you watched the Jurassic World Dominion? Have you watched it yet?
I have not yet.
Yeah, they cut all the new people, all the old people coming in. It's great. It's so great. they're the best part of the movie. Yeah. You could cut Chris Pratt. And the movie is like a million times.
Can we just do like Jurassic World reset with Laura Dern and her character as the spoiler alert. I don't know. You're giving me a look.
No, that's spoiler. No, they just should have. No, I agree with you. Okay. Should have just done it. That was my big take of the movie. I was like, this would be so much better if it was just like not the Chris Pratt, the other person who's in the new ones. Yeah. I know her name.
The redhead.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would have been fun. We've watched it in the Discord before. You watch it again in the future, but I just think, you know. So we said space sci-fi, but you know, again, I don't want to cramp people's style once the voting were out. So you know?
I'll say one more thing. I know we want to move on, but no, I just have to like reinforce for people who do not have the full context here. Jurassic Park changed the game in terms of dinosaurs and the role that dinosaurs play in pop culture.
I live in Toronto, a city that was just about to get a basketball team. And they were like, throw out all the ideas, throw everything out the window. Dinosaurs are popular. We're going to be the Toronto Raptors. And that is a true story. Jurassic, the success of dinosaurs meant that the basketball team in Toronto became the Toronto Raptors.
So, it literally changed the game, that game being professional basketball.
They say there's nothing in the rule books that says dinosaur can't play basketball. Yeah, where are the Air Bud? Sci-fi? Is Air Bud sci-fi? I'm just wondering.
I wouldn't kick it out of the countdown.
I wouldn't have either, but I don't think it counts. But
the Toronto Raptor mascot has some of my favorite gifts, though. I think
he's fun.
Yeah, we're a fan.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park, well done.
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
For your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When you want the best, you have to act fast, especially when hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people before the competition scoops them up. And the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds top talent fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Spotify. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, number six, 5 first place votes, tied for the most first place votes of anything on this list, right?
Whoa, there's a lot of parity here in the top six.
Yeah, we're coming in at 111 points, so 7 points higher than Jurassic Park. This is a 1997 film. Let me go down the line. William Fichtner, I believe is his name. He's in this one as well. He was in a previous we were talking about. Who else we got? John Hurt, James Wood, Matthew McConaughey, Jodie Foster, Rob Lowe.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Larry King.
My buddy DM Philly did me right. He stacked the ballot box, at least one person for what I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is the Carl Sagan classic Contact.
It is Contact. And I don't know, not for nothing, 5 people put it at number one.
Okay.
So
it was not me. I did not vote in this.
They were not all DM Philly. I'm not even sure.
No, don't. We don't mean it. You know, your vote is anonymous. Yeah. And but yeah, Rich and I have talked about this quite a bit. Contact is, that's another personal favorite of mine. It's another one of these movies I've seen a lot. I was kind of slightly hoping it might be the number one movie because I'd love to watch it again.
So, I think to our point of like trying to build a list, they could get something that you really wanted to watch. I do believe it was like, I think there was a joke at some point of like, how do I get to watch Contact?
Yes. Well, yeah, less a joke and more like a directive. Be like, yeah, can we just like frame this in a way where this wins? That'd be nice.
This is the one where you're like basically want it to be like, can we have 90s American sci-fi films directed by Robert Zemeckis starring Jodie Foster? And it's like, I don't know if we can be that specific, but we could do our best. And look, we did try. It came in at number 6. Yeah.
No, it's great. It's great. I think it's a really well done movie. There are elements of it that aren't perfect. There are elements of it that, you know, the CGI doesn't really hold up as much, but I love the themes of it. I love their handling of alien contact, but also in particular their handling of human societies and how we'd respond to it.
I mean, I'm big on like, I either want you to like, yeah, okay, this is small character focused stuff, or I want you to just like give me like give me your take on like everything, all of it, you know, science, politics, faith, all of it. And this is a great movie. I haven't seen it in a long time. I would have been interested to rewatch it. Perhaps we should be. We'll dial up the Philly phone maybe and be like, you want to watch Contact in the Discord? We'll see. Yeah.
It could be good. It's really interesting because, you know, I went to Catholic school for 12 years. I grew up in a not particularly religious family. And so my initial reading of this movie, I didn't read the book, but my watching of this movie, I was really turned off and meant to be turned off by, like, spoiler alert, like how faith impacts the story. And I think as I've gotten older, like I recognize now how interesting of a challenge and a question it is. Right.
Right.
And I love that Carl Sagan wrote about it from a scientific standpoint. And then they made that like a central part of the movie. They didn't really, Zemeckis didn't deviate from it too much.
Yes. I agree. It's thought provoking. A movie. It's great. Zemeckis too. I mean, we had a Spielberg movie on the list. It was a Zemeckis movie on this list. So fun. Yeah.
I also used this movie to inspire a D&D session, which people probably still don't even realize who were on it.
Wow. That's fun.
Yeah.
So fun. All right. That's Contact. We did our best. We tried to get it to number one, but it comes in at number 6. Troy, not uncommon on these lists. We have a tie. For number 4/5, both get 112 points. Can't even break the tie with first place votes because they both get 2. So I think, in fairness, we'll do release day perhaps. So I'll do the newer film first. So this is a 1996 film. It stars. It's tough.
I swear to God, if you say Bugs Bunny,
No. It's you look at the full list, and it's like if I give you the top name.
Yeah, no. That's no fun. That's not the fun game.
Vivica A. Fox, Adam Baldwin.
Oh, I already know it.
Firestein.
Yeah, keep going.
Jeff Goldblum, Judd Hirsch, Will Smith, Bill Pullman, Harry Connick Jr.
I'm back. Mm-hmm. This is a movie that gave me nightmares.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
But it's really well done. But it did. It did give me nightmares. This is the original Independence Day.
The original, not the sequel.
Not the sequels. This is the movie that made July 4th.
There is a sequel. There is a sequel. Yeah.
This is the movie that made July 4th weekend a huge movie blockbuster.
It's the turning point of blockbusters, Hollywood blockbusters. It ushers in a wave of disaster sci-fi films. This is where we're going to start to get like Twister and
A good movie.
Also a good movie. What else do we get? We get like Dante's Peak and Volcano happening at the same time. I mean, even like it ushers in a little bit like Deep Impact, Armageddon. There's an asteroid coming to Earth. So this is a big movie. It's good. It's good. It, again, feels very popcorny, you know, flicked, but it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, I always like to judge movies kind of like a dog show where you judge each movie against its breed. Against what it's trying to be. You don't expect a dachshund to be a Great Dane.
Yes.
And then this is an instance of like a movie that is trying to be huge special effects, super interesting, over dramatic, Will Smith being funny and badass, Jeff Goldblum being neurotic and badass. Like, how can you not give this movie an A for what it does?
Right.
Maybe even an A+.
I mean, yeah, I think it was the highest grossing film of that year. And it's not quite able to beat out Jurassic Park for highest grossing film ever at the time. But boy, like certainly comes close. And it's like, yeah, such a fun, it's a really fun movie. It's great. And to your point of like, it literally changes like the meaning of like being a blockbuster, like, you know, beginning of the summer, come watch this like gigantic on-screen movie that's going to just like be humongous in scope. That's what we want to go watch in the summer.
I could be wrong, but is this not the movie that made Will Smith an action star?
I think so. I was just trying to quickly look at his IMDb in terms of, yeah, he had Bad Boys, but Independence Day, I think, is like, that's the big one.
Yeah, I mean, that crossed over big time. Yeah. There are so many little moments of Independence Day that stick with me. Obviously, the speech has gone, you know, it become kind of part of meme culture in a way. I personally love having Brett Spiner in there, who plays Lieutenant Commander Data on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Uh-huh.
So that was a fun little moment for me because I was a big Star Trek Next Generation fan. We see
James
now,
Rebhorn is in it. I feel like that's a guy who just like in the night was just like in everything.
In everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I missed what you say. Independence Day is Will Smith's big brother. It's Wild Wild West from 1999. Guess I'm spoiling that's not on the list. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. No, that movie did give me nightmares when I was a kid. I think honestly, it's because the plot is so believable.
Right.
Am I weird in saying that? Like,
no, I agree. It's like, yeah, what would happen if you know, this is the aliens. I feel like in conjunction with sort of like the rise of like mainstream internet too. I feel like where there's like conspiracy theories and aliens are real. You know, I feel like there's something to like our entrancement with aliens coming to Earth. They're going to destroy Earth. You know.
No. Well, and I almost made this joke when we were talking about Contact, but like in some ways Contact is the inverse of Mars Attacks,
right?
Where it's like a very unserious movie about very aggressive aliens who are just going to come and kill us, and Contact is quite the opposite, right? So I think it's maybe better to pair Contact with Independence Day, which is how much credit do we give the aliens for how nice they're going to be. And clearly, spoiler alert, in Independence Day, not so nice.
I will say I do love films that are like contacts with it. I love Arrival. You watch Arrival? Great little flick.
Yeah, sure.
No. All right, that's Independence Day. I mean, yeah, unquestionably a gigantic film, and I think absolutely deserves to be on the list. Ties for technically fourth place. So that's That's good. I feel like that makes sense. The other movie that it's tied with is a 1991 film. I put it like they both are the same place, but I'm going to put it here because it came first, you know. The cast, Linda Hamilton, Robert Patrick, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I mean, where else can you go from there, right? You could have started down lower on the list, Edward but by Furlong. The time you get to Linda Hamilton, it's a giveaway.
Yeah, Joe Morton, Earl Bone.
Speaking of movies that I was too young to watch, but definitely watched.
You and Josh Wigler, the formative Terminator 2 experience.
Terminator 2. It was a judgment day. My best friend as a kid, Scott Howard, for his, I think, 7th birthday, wanted to rent T2 from Blockbuster. And we had to ask my parents. And my parents finally said, okay.
Wow.
And that was a moment that is stuck in my brain for a long time. That movie's incredible. I mean, it's just, it does exact. I never even had seen the original Terminator. Right.
So well, that's Josh 2, I think. Yeah,
I didn't Josh understand Terminator, the context of like he's now the good guy and that's
I love
like a surprise.
Yeah. Do you know, but, I feel like sequels get a lot of flack these days. It's like, there's no new ideas. We're just going to do sequels. We're going to come back and do the thing again. I do feel like it's true, but also it's like the innovative sequel. Alien to Aliens, you know, it's a totally different film. Terminator 2. The bad guy's the good guy now. It's so great. It's so good. It's so fun.
Honestly, though, Grace, I think you're sleeping on something here. Not a space movie.
Oh, not a space movie. From the future.
From the future. Definitely a sci-fi movie. So it does qualify. But you gave a lot of flack to Jurassic Park for not being a space movie. T2.
Do you know what?
A space movie.
Do you know what I did in my head? I thought I said I did was think I did. Early in the day when I was doing the list, I thought, oh, it's not space for me. I thought, oh, I guess the T2s are from space. No, you know, that classic thing where you get space and the future mixed up.
Confused. Yeah. Well, space is the future as evidenced by my NASA t-shirt. You definitely see me wearing on this podcast.
Where the technology of the Terminators come from in the future. We don't know. It could have been.
I think we do. I'm pretty sure the entire premise of the story is that it comes from Skynet and John Connor is part of the resistance. We know, Grace.
Resistance to what? Aliens.
It's true. No, I mean, that is like the deep, dark fear that a lot of people have is that our greatest enemy is ourselves and what we can create. Grace, what do you think about AI? Go ahead. Go. I'm going to give you 30 seconds.
AI? You know what? I'm like both not nervous and nervous all at the same time. Like, I definitely think that it's like bad that all these companies have all our data. And yet I still like, I'm like, oh, I could, you know, ooh, I could cast a podcast while I'm in the shower from my Google Home. Yeah. Take it. Do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like both like part of the problem and think that it's probably a huge problem that they have access to all of our data and they're building AI. All of those things. Stop posting yourself 5 years in the future or like 5 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Not 5 years in the future. The aging apps too. Yeah. All of this stuff. It's all bad. Don't do it. But it's also fun. It's a fun meme. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a pretty common take at this point, which is like, is it slightly terrifying? Yes. But is it also convenient? Yes.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I think Terminator 2, Judgment Day, the entire Terminator franchise is built on kind of one, I wouldn't say like a fundamental mistake, but I think an over-indexing on robotic machines being our undoing. When in fact, I think if anything, we've shown that we can use AI to be our own undoing. We don't need to build robots.
Yep.
100%. So I think in that regard, like, a little scared about AI and the potential of it, but I'm not scared of killer robots.
Yeah, I would agree.
Is this the point where a killer robot comes and knocks up in the door? And
we've been robots the whole time, actually.
Pretty sure there's a show about that no one's watching.
This one, the one thing I was surprised by, when I for a person who hosts a movie podcast, I'm pushing against, I have huge movie blind spots. I didn't see this movie until a little while ago, at least since like the start of the patron program in PSR, because like hearing about that, it's like Josh's origin story. I was like, I should probably watch the Terminators. And one of the things that like surprise is how many like the famous Terminator quotes come from this movie instead of the original? Hasta la vista, baby. Come with me if you want to live. There's more from T2.
I'll be back. Was that the original?
I think it's stay here, I'll be back. Yeah, like these are all from the second one instead of the first one, which like seems a little wild to me.
No, I mean, it is unquestionably true that this is the movie that makes the franchise.
Right.
It's also one of the few movies where the sequel is better than the original.
Right.
I would put Aliens in that bucket as well.
I really like the first one, but I can see the point.
Yeah, but this is James Cameron at his absolute best. Like, no slight on Titanic, no slight on the forthcoming Avatars.
The Way of Water. Yeah.
But, boy, this is just good stuff. Should I have been watching it when I was 7? You know what? Yes, you've made a formative memory with me, Mr. and Mrs. Howard. Yes, yeah. I should have. But, great movie.
I am on record as saying one of my favorite TV tropes, and Star Wars just keeps being like, we know Grace wants it, so we're going to give it to Grace, which is adult. I'll put adults in quotes for this movie. Has to take care of like a child, essentially. This movie is like, I got to protect John Connor. I hang around with this kid. He learns all the kid stuff from him. Hasta la vista and whatnot. It's great. I love it.
I also think it's worth noting Sarah Connor, one of the best movie TV characters 100%. Out there, and they've done incredible stuff with her, and I'm just glad, like, I'm glad they decided to make this movie. Now here's my question to you, Grace.
Yeah.
It is a tie between Independence Day and T2.
I'll give it to you. If you want to break the tie here and put one at 4 Ooh. One at 5, you can.
Well, I was going to ask you how you would break the tie.
Well, I feel like I did, but then you really sold me on it's not a space movie, which I did kind of forget. So I think
that would have been my answer. If you put me on the spot, I would have said I'm going to have to give it to Independence Day because it is a space movie. I think if I'm just looking at it on the merits of, like, let's say it was a 90s movie list, I would give it to T2.
Yeah, I would. That tracks for me. Yeah, but space sci-fi, I think you got to give it to Independence Day. All right, number 3. No more ties on the list. This one. Very interesting. There's only 2 movies on this whole list that don't get first place votes, and number 3 doesn't get any first place votes.
What? Always the Bridesmaid.
Yeah, 116 points. So beats out Independence Day Terminator 2 by 4 points. This movie stars.
Before you say that, I just want to like sit with this for 5 seconds. Maybe not dead air. Hold on, I'm going to talk through this while I think about it. Which is What is a movie that is no one's favorite movie in this bucket, but is on everyone's list and probably pretty high?
You know what? Not like high, not really. Its highest place vote is a singular third place vote.
What?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's a movie that must be like so right in the wheelhouse of this category. Yeah.
And then the like there's a like a, so many like middle votes. So it gets like so many fourth, fifth, sixth place votes is what happens.
I will say I'm resisting the urge to Google the prompt again to see what movies are missing because I'm just along for the ride here. So I will, I'll not try and do that. I'm going to go ahead. We'll go back to the who's in it game. Mm-hmm. Grace, who is in this movie?
Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, okay.
Rip Torn.
Yeah.
Vincent D'Onofrio. Linda Florentino. Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
The best of both worlds here.
I agree.
Our worlds being notably Earth and everything but Earth. This is Men in Black.
Men in Black, 1997's Men in Black. Yeah, I mean, Will Smith on here again. I mean, this is the movie he does, I think, right after it. It's right. Like, what a run from Will Smith. Men in Black, I believe we watched it in the Discord one day. I cannot remember why, but we did. I think it holds. It's so fun. It's so good. The premise, aliens are like embedded in our world on Earth. We got to like find them. So many memorable things from the movie in terms of like the light that you flash and you forget your memory of the giant guns. This movie's great.
Yeah. He was wearing an Eggers suit. That one, water, sugar, water.
That guy creeped me out, Vincent. As
well, he should.
It's creeped me out so much. Yeah.
If you've ever watched Law and Order Criminal Intent or Full Metal Jacket, like Vincent D'Onofrio is capable of creeping anyone out, agreed, let alone in a comic book inspired movie. I think this is absolutely earning its spot up here on the list.
I'm a little surprised for it not to get any first place votes. I think you're going to see. So the next thing I'll tell you is that there's a big jump between 3 and 2 and a very small gap between 1 and 2. So I think that the point of like a lot of people, I think people either these the two that are going to be first, people either picked one of those or just like anything like something else, right? Like just sort of across the board. But I think Men in Black, I mean, to the point of like it fits the category, like the best, like space and sci-fi is pretty, it's pretty perfect, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's great. And what it does is it's a story about, you know, it's a buddy cop, buddy travel film, but they recenter it to not really be a cop, right? You're like a secret agency within the government. And you're dealing, and they made it very fun. It was very fun. Aliens. They have big comic book style guns. In some ways, it is like what Fifth Element was a bit trying to do, but with the cachet of Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, and really the chemistry between the two of them that makes the film amazing.
It's really good. They're like so good together. They have so much chemistry together. Yeah, so
I mean,
fun.
I'm gonna put it on the list of films that I'd say, like, if I have someone who's never watched, you know, a lot of movies, I definitely put it in the like you must watch list.
I would agree. I think it's, this movie to me feels, I get a lot of nostalgia for this movie in particular. So many little moments, the like the two-headed guy, is he two-headed or three heads? I don't know, the guy who has more than one head. Like all the aliens that you meet along the way. And I've been saying this thing, I've been watching a show called The Sandman on Netflix. Rich and I have been podcasting about it. And it does this really fun thing of like magic being overlaid onto our world. And the thing that I think is so fun about this movie is that like, yeah, you don't know that the guy who runs like the corner store, the convenience store, is not actually an alien. You know, only the Men in Black know that, which is like that like idea of feeling like, and it's very like, Harry Potter-ish too, of like there is magic in the world. I just don't know about it. You know, there are aliens in the world. I just don't know that they exist. But this is how it's been like cloaked from us, is like one of my favorite fantasy sci-fi like things.
I mean, I know we're about an hour into the podcast here, but is this the point where we should be doing a celebrity alien draft of
who might be an alien?
Who might really be an alien? I think notably,
yes, let's
in
do it. Yes,
Men in Black, Dennis Rodman was called out to be an alien.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so maybe we'll just do two picks: 1, 2, 2, yeah,
yeah.
1. Here.
Yeah, yeah. You can go. You go. You go first if you'd like.
Oh, I can go first. Can I do a collective pick?
Yeah, you made the rules, man.
I mean, I'm making this game up, but as I immediately now am challenged with my own prompt, boy, I got to wear the suit now. I would not be surprised to find out that all of the Kardashians are aliens.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That makes a lot of sense, I think. That's good. That's a good pick. You know what? I would have pre Top Gun Maverick, a movie we covered together with Ariel on Pokemon Theater, I would have said Tom Cruise, I think.
The jury's not out.
I know, but I feel like almost like
you can't Top handle Gun Maverick the truth, Grace.
Made me realize like maybe he's not. What if he's not an alien? No, I'll take Tom Cruise. I'll take Tom Cruise. I think it's very likely that he could be an alien. The other one I would say is like the most like, well, the reason I say Tom Cruise, and I guess this is like my exact point, is that like Tom Cruise is like still one of the only people who feels like, yeah, that's a movie star. I feel like movie stars a little bit of a dying a breed to an extent. And so it would be entirely possible that like this is all just some like Rick and Morty experiment of like what do humans think they want a movie star to look like? And it's Tom Cruise. I mean, he is into Scientology as well, right? So that makes my sense. My Google search of celebrity most likely to be an alien is coming up front because it's just telling me what celebrities believe in aliens. You know what? I'll go opposite. So I'm gonna take my safe bet of like Tom Cruise is basically an alien experiment dropped on Earth to be like a movie star, and then I'll go the opposite, which is this person is way too odd to actually, which is Gary Busey. I'll take Gary Busey. Mm. So I'll take the like alien like,
can't
acting
even
as
keep
a human.
It together.
Can't there's, keep it together.
Like they're so alien
at the seams.
Yeah. Like he can't pass as a human. So.
That's right. I'll just cover both of my grounds with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Cruise, too normal. Too
just
human looking.
Too plain, right? Too like, hello, fellow human. How are you doing today? Yeah.
I mean, to that extent, like,
do you want to learn how to take the motion capture?
Steve Buscemi is a pretty good alien that's, pick.
Yeah. Good.
But no, that's not going to be my second pick. Okay. So you've had your two picks. Mm-hmm. I had a minute to think about who my second pick would be. Grace Leader, give me. Yeah. No, it's not you. You're famish, if anything.
Yeah.
No, famous person who could be an alien. Give me the Queen of England, baby.
Yeah, that
give
makes
me
sense.
Elizabeth yeah. Regina, Queen yeah. of England.
I like that one.
Look, I mean, have we ever seen her before now? No. Like, do you know sure. that she's not an alien?
I mean,
she seems to
point.
Have a lot of power.
Yeah. Like how? Yeah, the to go back and think that like, is she an, so? Actually, I would like to ponder: is she an alien who was like Queen herself was dropped on Earth, or did she grow up on her home? And so it's actually like Henry II or who whatever line gets you to Queen Elizabeth is there lineage of alien descent? And so they're just all aliens, or was she? Was she specific? Like every time there's a new, they like replace them and like put like I guess you can't replace them. Whatever. What's happening here?
Yeah, what you're saying is Troy. Please solve the dynastic challenges created by your challenge to the Queen of England's humanity.
Yeah, who's most likely to be an alien? But this is not who's most likely to be from space because Queen Elizabeth theoretically could. She's an alien because she was born from aliens.
Oh, interesting. Oh, so you're saying that the Queen Elizabeth could have been born on Terra Firma, Inglaterra Firma,
but her parents are aliens because all the way back they're all that's how they became.
Yeah, I mean Henry VIII could have been an alien. Again, we weren't there. We don't know. Look at the fossil records, but I think no. I'm less concerned or convinced that the entire dynastic line of England is run by aliens who inhabit Buckingham Palace and have for hundreds of years. I think I'm more thinking like somewhere along the way she got snatched and replaced and no one knows.
Well, they are doing that in the next season of The Crown. They are doing that one. That's why they keep changing the actors, you know, every two seasons because, yeah.
Well, let's just say when Vincent D'Onofrio comes in with the dress and the wig.
Like comes through the body. Yeah, it's pretty
the
great.
Tiara.
Yeah. Yeah.
What well, is ours?
You've actually flogged a memory of mine, which is that I once pre-hold up. The first podcast I ever pitched was a podcast called Rough Draft, where the entire premise was going to be essentially things like this.
What is this? What?
It was going to be called Rough Draft, which is where you would just pick a topic and you would just draft. Everybody would draft.
I see. The emphasis on draft, not on rough.
Yeah, rough draft. And then it'd be like, which celebrity is most likely to be an alien? Okay, let's go. We're gonna draft.
I'm here for it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
It's not bad, right?
Well, let's just, I mean, we've done a draft. Let's establish some stakes very briefly here. If it turns out to be any Kardashian or the Queen of England / Queen of Canada, your head of state.
It is my head of state.
Your monarch. What would I win?
and if it turns out to be Tom Cruise or Gary Busey, I don't know. I don't. Should we ask interactive pod and ask people to submit ideas?
I think so. I think you're gonna have to put in the Discord or tweet at us if you're not in the Discord. At High From Grace, at Pusher Recaps, at DJ LaBelle Klein. Let us know about our alien picks. Who would you have picked? And what, in the inevitability that one of these is revealed to be an extraterrestrial during our lifetime, what the payment should be.
Okay, great. All right, let's count down the rest of the list. Two left.
We still got two movies.
Yeah, as I said, a big jump between two and three. So let me just set it up. Number two, comes in at 177 points, five first place votes, whereas number three is 116 points. So a big, big gap, Troy.
How many points?
So it's 177 versus 116.
16. I see.
Yeah. So we're looking at what, like, math. I can do math. 61 points different.
Yep.
Then between one and two, there's only a 3-point difference. First place one gets 180.
So a near tie for the top.
Yeah, and number two gets 177.
I'm not gonna say what it is, but I think I have a notion on both movies. I think I have a take. I think there's one movie I expected to be number one. And if it's not at all in the top 10, I'm going to be shocked and shook. And there's another one that I didn't think about when I initially proposed this, that the more I think about it, I wouldn't be shocked if people put it there. So that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. I would definitely say that the movie here, number two, when I started to start to calculate, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But kind of forgot about it. But here we go. Number two is a 1999, just making the cut, film. Tony Shalhoub stars in this movie.
Yep.
Sigourney Weaver stars in this movie. Alan Rickman, Sam Rockwell, Daryl Mitchell, Tim Allen, Troy.
By Grab Thor's hammer. This is Galaxy Quest.
I was a little surprised. I mean, it's a great film. This is a movie, you said earlier, there's a few movies that you just saw on TBS all the time. I don't know if this was on TBS, but I saw this a ton when I was a kid. And I'm actually, I've definitely seen this movie. I don't know that I've seen it ever, not with commercials, not have I seen it the whole way through, the full thing for, I don't think so. So it's been very interesting to watch. Definitely a cult film. I think even at the time it kind of got cult. I mean, it made money at the box office. Let's just say it definitely made money. I mean, Tim Allen, the 90s, gigantic star. Sigourney Weaver, huge star. This movie's fun. This movie's really fun. I just haven't seen it in a long time.
Put me on that list as well. I'm going to confess now, I'm pretty sure I have not seen this movie all the way through. So much so that when I remembered that was definitely going to get the top 10 for this podcast, I was a little concerned. But then I thought to myself, you know what? Trust the process.
Well,
trust the system.
Best of both worlds is that comes in here at number two. Okay, you haven't seen it. We can chat about it. But if it came in at number one, you could come watch it in the Discord. So it wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world. But it's very fun. It's very fun. The premise is super fun, right? That they're the TV show crew. They're a Star Trek spinoff. But then they actually get to get drawn into real, they actually get contacted by real aliens who think it's a documentary. So it's very fun. Very fun premise. And the cast is great.
It's definitely a movie that I would watch. It's a movie that I would not turn down. It's just not a movie I have gone out and sought to see again. But it does not shock me at all to learn that there's a bunch of people for whom this is one of their favorite movies. It's an eminently quotable movie. It's relevant. So I think I'm going to put it on my to-do list to watch this movie at some point.
Can I tell you how close it was to making the cut? It comes out on December 25th, 1999, which means most people watched this movie, not in the 90s.
Oh, throw it out. Yeah. Throw it out. Doesn't it count. Out.
My favorite fact, there's a temptation when you're making this movie, not temptation, probably you have some fear or are you going to make people mad? This movie was voted the 7th best Star Trek movie of all time by Star Trek fans in 2013. So, it pays homage, in a nice way. It spoofs it, in a nice way. Yeah.
Well, especially now that I have been to gaming conventions, I definitely want to see kind of how they represent the whole convention theme here and the role that the fan base plays in it all. So, put it on the list. It's earned its spot. All you big Galaxy Quest fans, come let us know in the Discord why you love this movie.
This is the film debut for both Justin Long and Rainn Wilson.
Really?
Fact about this movie. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. So Galaxy Quest, I think some people will be I think this, I feel like also, it feels like a good Discord movie to watch along, because it's like a comedy film, like, you know, it's like spoofing something. I know there's a lot of Star Trek fans. What if I just stop my sentence there? I know there's a lot of Star Trek fans in the world, but in the Discord in particular. It's the thing I've tried to get it. I've like wanted to, but I'm like nervous about like where to even start. You know, I know Prez will immediately message me probably and be like, okay, here's exactly where to start.
Yeah, this is exactly what you do. You start with here, you go there, move over to Voyager. You come back, Deep Space Nine, learn about the emissary. And no,
is that your president? the BB president on Twitter.
That's definitely not user. My okay. BB president okay. voice.
That's just generic Trekkie.
That was
Trekkie
me
fan.
Narrating.
Gotcha.
This is my Trekkie expertise voice. But here, I do. Wow. well, actually, I do want to like take a moment here and just say it's really sad to me that. You know, in the 90s, we have Star Trek The Next Generation. It's a huge hit. As you know, a lot of people are watching it. Obviously, the Star Trek movies are still being made in the 90s, in the 70s and then through the 80s. But by the time you get to the 90s, like, I guess what I'm saying is there should be a Star Trek film on this list. Did any of the films that qualify actually validate, you know, quality to be on here? No.
That's right. We said it'd save it to the end, but the almost was at number 11 was Star Trek First Contact. Sorry.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
man, I could have had two contacts and a Star Trek.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm looking through the list of Star Trek movies and like that's definitely the one that would have earned its spot. It's a good story. I know this isn't the movie that we're talking about right now, okay. But it's a good story. It's great casting. It's got Malcolm McDowell in it. That's Generations. First Contact is one with James Cromwell about the first warp engine. Anyway, I could go on. I just want to like just acknowledge that I want good Trek movies, and I'm excited that we have some in the world.
Yeah, 11 is Star Trek First Contact. You get Star Trek The Undiscovered City, country, coming in at number 21, and then have Star Trek Generations coming in at number 30. So they're on the list. They got some votes, but none of them, not a single one could sort of like, it's First Contact, pretty close. It's like right there, 2 points shy. This is where if you're listening and you're a Star Trek fan and you didn't vote, especially if you're not a patron, you probably should become a patron. Push your ears, so you can have voting rights on these podcasts. You'll get contacted. You'll be your first contact. We'll be at the end of each month asking you to vote on a poll. Yeah.
I could make a lot more puns here. I could say,
go for it.
You know,
yeah.
If you were to vote, it would give us more data.
Yeah.
Nope. That's all I got. Nope. Okay.
Yeah, we want a ship
in a wharf.
Yeah, I mean, we want the PSR patron program to live long and prosper. You know, like
You could come play with Troy, Deanna Troy. No, actually, me. You could come and be a crusher. Okay, I'm really squeezing it too much here. So
I was gonna try and put in a Star Wars joke, and I couldn't. We couldn't do it.
Resistance is futile, Grace.
Okay, number one. This one is very interesting because it's also from 1999. Mm-hmm. It stars. Where to start? Hugo Weaving, Carrie Ann Moss, Lawrence Fishburne, Keanu Reeves. Yep. This is The Matrix, Troy.
Pour one out for Space Jam, folks. We thought we had a chance.
Yeah, I know. Space Jam so it's number 28 on the list, doesn't get a first place vote, and actually doesn't get votes until the number 6 spot on the list. So like
I gotta say, I mean, look, we're gonna talk about The Matrix. We're gonna talk about how amazing that was as a choice of a film. But I just want to take a moment and really honorable mention Space Jam. That really should be on the top 10 here. Yeah. A great 90s space movie. I don't care that it's animated. I don't care that it's a sports movie. Come on. We got Monstars, baby.
So let me ask a question about The Matrix. I covered The Matrix.
Are we going to do the assignment, Grace?
So Ariel, a giant Matrix fan, the new one was coming out. And so we watched all of them, including the Animatrix. We watched that movie. We watched them. I love them. It was like a big blind spot for me, and embarrassingly so, because it's made by the Wachowskis. There's like huge trans analogy in this movie. Is it a space movie? There's a flying ship. There is a flying ship. So how far up do you have to be? How far after you be like,
no.
I guess to the degree that it's like,
well,
as close to as a kind of Armageddon, like you didn't go to another planet. They go to an asteroid that's coming,
but they at least went into outer space. They even went below near Earth orbit.
Yeah. This is all like, you know, they're like in the Matrix. They're in like a sci-fi universe, right?
Well,
they're
here's, like, here's what I'm going to say. Yeah. To answer your actual question. Yes, it is a space movie.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why?
Why?
Because every movie set on Earth is a space movie, because Earth exists in space.
That's right. That's right. Every movie is.
Put me in court, baby. I'm testifying to it.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't mind that it's like it feels space enough that I think it's totally fine, and I think well deserving of being like, you know, 90s space sci-fi movie, because the franchise, I believe they do go to space. So. Maybe wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's all set in planet Earth. Whatever. Doesn't matter. It came in at number one.
It came in at number one. And yeah. I will say this. I think for a 90s movie list, for a 90s sci-fi list, for a 90s action list, I could very easily put it at number one across all three of those.
Yes.
So, you know, the fact that it isn't technically a space movie, maybe I would have given the bump to Galaxy Quest just for funsies. But hey, put Matrix at the top of the list, and people want to watch the Matrix again, like, for sure. Not going to complain about that.
Yeah, I think it feels specific because, like, when they come out of the Matrix, there's all the, like, you know, Sentinels and the robots. Those are just like made by humans, and then the robots take over. That's how I feel about
AI.
Actually,
very Terminator the Matrix too. Yeah,
actually, a super Terminator too. Yeah, and so I think it feels spacey, and they feel alien, and they're like, the way that they move feels very much like that. But I mean, yeah, they're made on Earth, so I think it's well deserving of being here. I only say that so Ariel won't kill me, but you know, yeah, it's super cool. It's the coolest movie.
And Grace, if you die on the podcast, you die in real life.
Yeah, we plugged in right before. We always plug in.
Plug in,
which is weird. Yeah. Wow.
Great movie. I think, gosh, I don't, you know, what's odd is I remember really liking the movie when I saw it. I mean, I saw it in theaters. I probably saw it multiple times, but I have no like real vivid memories of seeing it. I do remember the music being really great, and I remember the style of it being very fun. Yeah. And then obviously anyone at that time who had more flexibility than I do now tried to do the bullet dodging scene.
Of course. Yeah. There's so many cool things in this movie. It's very good. It's the world building is really good in this movie. There's so many cool ideas. It's really great. I think the sequels also get a little bit of flack. I think they're also very strong. Especially we watch them so close together. This is a great movie. We'll have fun. We're gonna watch it in the Discord Tuesday, September 6 at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's gonna be fun. It's a great movie. We'll enjoy it. I feel like if you're like listening and you're like, but you said you could interpret space sci-fi however I wanted, you're totally right. You definitely could have, and you did, and the Matrix won. So
welcome to the Matrix. We write the rules however we want them to. No, I mean, it's a great opening scene as well, like one of the best opening scenes of a movie. I'm excited to watch that. I think and also, man, Keanu Reeves.
You know what I just watched for the first time? I just watched John Wick for the first time, because I felt like John Wick kept coming up as like, isn't John Wick amazing? And like, yeah, pretty cool movie I haven't seen. So I wanted to watch it, and he's very good. I love him. Yeah, I love Keanu Reeves. Canadian. Yeah, great. We're going to watch The Matrix. It'll be great. And you know, if anybody else, if you're like, this thing should have won instead, You could also host a watch along. You could just watch the movies whenever you want in the Patreon Discord, because people will come and watch with you.
Guess what? This is not a monarchy here,
yeah,
right? We are not run by an alien who might be the monarch.
Yeah, just don't schedule it on September 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Don't counter-program me. But other than that, feel free to watch anything you want. Jess Sterling has notoriously just would be like, I want to watch Hamilton. Everybody jumps in to watch Hamilton. It's very fun. So anything on this list or anything that didn't make the list you want to watch, you're more than welcome to. But Troy, we did it. We counted that. Do you want some of the also the never, the didn't make it?
Quick run.
Anything else that's on your list? I can go through sort of like 11 to 20. Star Trek, as I said, First Contact. 12 Monkeys.
Was on okay.
Gattaca. The Iron Giant.
Hold on. Pause.
Yes.
Huge omission here. We're going to watch Gattaca at some point. It's going to happen. Come join us. We'll talk about it then.
Okay. Yeah, Gattaca. It didn't get any first place votes, I think was like the big thing. But it gets a lot of votes. It gets 60 points. The Iron Giant, aforementioned Mars Attacks is on there. Sorry, losing my place on my list. Total Recall, Xenon Girl of the 21st Century, Apollo 13. Here's a fun one, Troy. Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
Yes, technically.
Yep, and Dark City. That rounds out the top 20. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's some good ones there. But the only big omission to me there is Gattaca, which we'll talk about another time. But I think good list. Well done, patrons. I'm proud of you. I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, I appreciate people who just like go for a Toy Story and Toy Story 2 both got votes, which I think technically a space movie.
kind of a sci-fi movie
with toys coming to life.
If we're gonna say that like dinosaurs coming to life is sci-fi, toys coming to life is definitely sci-fi. Sure.
James and the Giant Peach got
also
a
another Tim Allen movie.
Also the Tim Allen movie. I always like to point out who just like put at number 10 just something, you know, just some, which is Soldier, Tank Girl, and the Postman all got a singular 1 point. Just like to shout those out. Groundhog Day is in there. Being John Malkovich got some votes. Coneheads got some votes. Truman Show got some votes. So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A lot of these heady films. Being John Malkovich is a reasonable one that I've watched recently. Groundhog Day, that should be a top 10 movie on a different list.
Yeah.
But great movie as well.
We've been talking about doing a best holiday movie, like you know, if someone's there's a name, but then you're just like, oh, but just Groundhog Day will win. I think like Independence Day will probably come second, and then Groundhog Day will come number one. I think probably.
What are you really hating on? New Year's Day or Valentine's Day or whatever those really bad rom-com movies are.
All of those holiday movies. Yeah. There's so many of them, but I think just Groundhog Day would win. Troy, this was so fun. This is great. I enjoyed it a lot. I'll be in the Discord watching The Matrix.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. In the meantime, where can people find you?
Oh gosh, where can I find myself? Okay. If you want to listen along as we wrap up season 2 of Only Murders in the Building, the beautiful show on Hulu that is going to grace us for a third season.
Casting rumors abound. Casting confirmations abound, actually.
Yeah. Don't search it if you haven't watched season 2, because spoilers also abound. But Josh and I just recorded the final episode recap of that. But I think we're probably going to come back for a full season recap. So come check it out. We've got like a little bit of momentum with some people listening to us talk about this little show, which is really fun.
Yeah.
That is on Posha Recaps. It's also got its own feed if you just want to listen to that. If you want to come play D&D in the Discord, you can do that. I'm one of the Dungeon Masters along with Grace. So we go on fun adventures together. Not to space, but there's a fair amount of fantasy and sci-fi going on there. And then if you want to watch us go into space and play D&D, we're shifting to Monday nights, most Monday nights on twitch.tv/DMPhilly. You can watch us in Dragonfly, D&D in space. I play a large hippopotamus professor wizard of war magic who, just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's enough adjectives, I think, to get someone hooked. Yeah. Yeah,
that's it. And you can follow me on Twitter at DJ LaBelle Klein to talk about any of those things.
Amazing. I'm coming lots of stuff here. A League of Their Own, The Sandman, What We Do in the Shadows, and movies each week. And each Sunday night, I am will be podcasting with Mike Bloom. As soon as the episode of House of the Dragon ends, Mike and I will chat about it and get it into your podcast feeds as soon as humanly possible. You can either have a little late night snack on Sunday night, or you could get up on Monday morning and listen to our recap of that episode, our immediate reactions and thoughts. Over on Rob is a podcast, like Ever Sports with the Off Speed Podcast. We'll be back with more movie coverage. I'm sure Aaron and I will be back. And then next month, we'll be back with another movie countdown where you patrons get voting rights. If you want them, posterrecaps.com/Patreon to be able to vote. You also get bonus podcasts. Speaking of House of the Dragon, if you're watching and you don't want the ads, you can just become a patron at any level and you'll get ad-free podcasts, all of the House of the Dragon pods are doing, which is a lot of them. You can get them all ad-free each week, no matter what level you sign up at. There's merch, just like onto merchandise, Discord access, all sorts of fun things at higher levels. So check that out. Until next time, bye-bye.
I'll be back.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.